the first ever street health report was published last month. The study, spearheaded by the Main Street Project, sought to give a comprehensive picture of the health of Winnipeg's homeless. Christina Mays is one of the authors of the report. She's a student at the University of Manitoba's Masters of City Planning program, and she's worked with homeless populations in Vancouver, Calgary, and Winnipeg. And she joins me on the phone right now. Hello, Christina.
Hi, Cameron.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So you say in the report that this is the first study of its kind. What sets this study apart from other studies of homeless people in Winnipeg before?
Well, there haven't really been many comprehensive studies of homeless people in Winnipeg. There was a youth study, but Winnipeg right now doesn't really keep any sort of statistics on its homeless population. Homeless people aren't tracked via the census because they don't have addresses. So we don't know a lot about the homeless population, which means we don't know a lot about what their needs are and how we can better meet those needs.
And why hasn't something like this been done before?
Well, it's not easy. It took a full year to do. It took funding. It took a lot of dedication, staff time, and a lot of organizations working together. So there just aren't that many organizations that were in a place to do it at that time.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you gathered the information for this report?
We interviewed 300 people who were experiencing homelessness. So we actually used a survey that was a survey tool that was used in Toronto and Halifax. So their results will be, we can kind of compare them nationally to see some differences and similarities. But we got some people who were experiencing homelessness to help us to make the tool fit better to the Winnipeg context. And then we went to places where homeless people hang out. We went to all of the shelters, some drop-in centers, resource assistance for youth, and just asked people if they were interested in participating. And generally, people were pretty happy to share their stories and share some of their insights into some of the problems with the system that's supposed to be serving them.
Mm. So what sort of picture emerges about Winnipeg's homeless population?
Well, I think there's some things that people say that they knew, right? That Aboriginal people are overrepresented, that I think about 30% of the population had been diagnosed with a mental illness, that people have much poorer health than the general population, and that violence is a big issue. But there's some other things that people were a bit surprised about. I think there's lower levels of mental illness than people might have guessed. And just the discrimination that homeless people face in everywhere they go and how that affects their ability to try to move up and get out of that situation was really significant.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the low rates of mental illness, and that was something that stood out for me when I was reading the report as well. And I was just wondering why you think that is, that there's this difference between the common perception that a lot of people have, including myself, that mental illness is a serious contributing factor to homelessness, and the people that you interviewed are saying something different. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it is. It's certainly significant, and I don't want to downplay that. But I think there have been so many services that are set up to provide better services, because we know that the mental health system is failing people, that other people are kind of getting left behind. It turns into this sort of deserving poor versus undeserving poor. People with mental illness, you can't really blame them for having a mental illness. So it's a lot easier to get the government to support, to fund and to support services for people. But there are other people that need support.
Also, you mentioned the discrimination that some people face because landlords won't rent to people if they list their source of income as social assistance. And my understanding is that's supposed to be illegal. So how is that still happening, and why aren't more people fighting against that?
I think people don't have that much choice. They go, it was actually surprising how, especially for Aboriginal people, It's just kind of an everyday thing. They get so used to it. A lot of people said, yeah, I called the landlord and he said, okay, come look at it. And then they get there and the landlord doesn't say they won't rent to them because of their source of income or because they're Aboriginal or because of this and that. They just say, oh no, the unit's already taken. And then a few days later, they find out that maybe one of their friends who has a different source of income or who is Caucasian or is not homeless at the time, they go to look at the place and they can get it. But people don't have, when you're in a homeless situation, I mean, you're trying to, you spend your day trying to get enough food to eat, to find a place to sleep. People talked about waiting in line for hours every day, just trying to get their basic needs. They don't have time to go to the landlord and tenant board and say, I think this landlord may have been discriminatory.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked with homeless populations in multiple cities across Western Canada, and you say that you read research from other cities. How does the situation of Winnipeg's homeless population compare with that of other major cities?
I think there's obviously some similarities, that people are homeless because of poverty and because there isn't adequate housing, especially affordable rental housing in cities. But there's definitely differences. Manitoba and Winnipeg generally has a higher Aboriginal population. And I think the effects of colonialism, of residential schools, really compound the problem. So there's post-traumatic stress that hasn't been being diagnosed. There's different sort of drugs that people are using, which affect people differently and affect their behaviors differently, and affect their ability to live independently in different ways.
What do you mean, different kinds of drugs?
Well, we compared a lot of Winnipeg is known to have a higher population of people that sniff, so that's using like solvents, and those cause permanent brain damage. So I think 6% of the people that we interviewed said that they sniff, but we also know that it's a highly stigmatized drug, so the population may be higher. In Toronto, only 2% of people said that they sniff. And sniffing solvents causes a lot of changes in the brain chemistry, permanent changes in the brain chemistry, which make it more difficult for people to survive independently.
Hmm. Now, you sought to provide a comprehensive picture of the homeless population in Winnipeg. How successful do you think you were in that? Like, how representative do you think these figures are of the overall population?
I think they're quite representative of the street homeless population. So we interviewed people at places where they're getting services, but there are also a number of people that don't use services. So we found very few people that were newcomers to Canada, and I would guess that that's because newcomers to Canada tend to either use different services set up to serve newcomers, or they stay with family and friends. Women were 30% of the people that we interviewed were women, but I think women and women with children tend to avoid services because they worry about child welfare getting involved in their lives, or because they maybe aren't safe at shelters. So I wouldn't say that this is representative of the entire population of people in Winnipeg that don't have homes, but of the people that are maybe on the street that are using services, we got a pretty good sample of people.
Can you tell me a little bit about the people that you interviewed, like aside from the fact that they're homeless? What sort of people were you talking to?
Oh, it was a really broad range. Some of the people, there were some people that were 18. There were a couple of people that were 70 years old that didn't have homes. There's people that, there were all sorts of levels of education, doctors, and people that hadn't finished grade 4. So I think it's really hard to categorize, like, this person is a homeless person and this person is not. It's I think generally what we found is that homelessness could happen to anyone, but those people that are kind of in disadvantaged and lack power in society already, people that were involved in child welfare when they were kids, people that grew up in poverty, people that have mental or physical disability, were overrepresented in the people that we interviewed.
And what were some of the main reasons that people gave for them being homeless?
Well, the highest percent of people said that economic reasons were why they became homeless. So that has to do with they couldn't afford their rent, or their income was too low, or they lost their job. And really close behind that was that they were evicted, or that they had a conflict with a landlord. And that's pretty broad. So when we talked to people a bit further, people talked about not being safe. A lot of women, especially Aboriginal women, talked about landlords trying to take advantage of them, hitting on them, trying to ask for sexual favors. So it's hard to say. When someone says evicted, there's usually a story behind that and how that came about.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think needs to be done in order to help make the situation better for Winnipeg's homeless people? Like, you say that it's the results in this were somewhat similar to other states and other cities. Does that mean that we can look to other jurisdictions and look at their policies and see what's working, and maybe we can adopt some of that for our own policies?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's some things that are working in other places, and then we definitely need to alter it to the Manitoba context, or in the Winnipeg context, because we know that every city is different. But Housing First has been a really positive strategy that's working in a lot of places. The issue is that sometimes cities go all out with Housing First and don't have any sort of range of services. So Winnipeg right now has emergency shelters, and we have the Shea Swa project, which is housing some people under their Housing First model. But there's a lack of supportive housing for people that need a bit of extra support. So we really need a full continuum of support for people.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with a lot of the current programs, I understand, is that they're based on short-term project funding. These aren't long-term projects.
Right. So it makes it hard to plan long-term. Even our provincial poverty strategy and our homelessness strategy isn't really a full strategy with everyone at the table. So there's sort of piecemeal solutions, some of which are really great and that are working. But there's nothing comprehensive that's really, we don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. And without a plan, it's hard to track progress and to see if the plan's working or not.
So what is working right now? Like, can you point to any programs or services that are possible models that we can use? You mentioned the Housing First policy, but is there anything else?
Well, I think there's some things in the city that are going really, really well. There's pathways to housing. Main Street I worked with Main Street Project for this project, and they are a low barrier shelter. So people with that are actively using as drinking or using drugs are able to use their services. And people were happy with the other shelters like Salvation Army and Siloam, where people aren't using. So I think there's a lot of really dedicated, hardworking people in the city that are committed to doing something. It's just a matter of getting people to work together.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned shelters, but you also say in the report that these are sort of Band-Aid solutions, that they don't address the long-term issues of homelessness, that these are kind of charity-based models that seek to alleviate some of the worst aspects of the problem, but they don't actually erase the problem itself.
Right. Shelters aren't a home. So right now there's no ongoing funding for shelters to do anything beyond providing shelter. So funding for them to move into doing more of that case management and supportive housing and housing first will help shelters that already have good relationships with people that are experiencing homelessness to support them in moving out of homelessness.
Mm-hmm. Something that comes up pretty regularly in Winnipeg is the issue of rent control. And people go back and forth on that, saying, oh, rent control is the problem because it discourages development. And other people say, you know, it's the only thing that's keeping more people from becoming homeless because otherwise landlords would, you know, convert all their apartments to condos. What's your position on the issue of rent control?
I'm from Calgary, and during the boom in Calgary, landlords who had crummy little apartments who were raising their rents by $1,000 to get rid of tenants that they just didn't like. So in my experience, rent control really, it supports the people that need support most. And I'm pretty sure there have been quite a number of studies that have shown that rent controls don't limit people from building apartments. Right now, I think new buildings are free from rent control for 20 years. So the argument that rent controls are stopping people from building rental housing is, it just doesn't make any sense at all. I don't think it holds any weight. I think there are other things that are preventing rental properties from being built, including our tax scheme and all those sorts of things. So I'm in favor of rent control. I think it protects a lot of people that need protection, including myself. I'm a renter, and I couldn't afford more than a 2% rent increase. So I think in general, renters are in favor of rent control because it's a good protection, and landlords are, if they're good landlords and good business owners, I don't think they have problems with rent control either.
So what needs to be done next? You said that, you know, there isn't a lot of research being done. Like, where do we go from here now that we have this report and we have sort of a general picture of the health situation of Winnipeg's homeless? What's the next step?
Our key recommendation is that Main Street Project they're going to invite together all of the three levels of government and community stakeholders to strike an implementation committee to start to look at putting together a plan and a comprehensive plan that has all the people at the table to hopefully try to make a strategy looking at all the different things, all the different sectors that need to be involved, and try to get something done and to put a big focus on the issue here in the city.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Christina, for joining me.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Cameron.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.